Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we are back in the studio now. So, although I'm already noticing, it's like, okay, I reconnected some of my equipment here. So now it's like, okay, why are my audio files showing up a little funky here? So, anyway, after taking the show on the road to Washington, D.C., doing the show from Capitol Hill, and then now setting the equipment back up in the studio here, man, might be a little funky here or there, but that's all right. We got a ton of great content ready to roll for you here this morning. And then I think I just saw an email from David Noble. I think David Noble is going to be with us here on this Thursday coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. You know, he's been off on vacation down in Argentina. And of course, Argentina has been very big in the news. So I can't wait to hear what David Noble has to share with us. I think he's joining us here next hour. So that'll be great. Cause yeah, for the past two or three Thursdays, I think it's been now, he's been off on vacation, and so we haven't had our woke updates of the week, the Trump W's of the week, and so much more. But I really want to get his take on everything that stood out to him while he was down in Argentina, and especially on this whole currency swap story. They were describing it in the fake news media as a bailout for Argentina, but you know, the United States is actually making money off the deal. Argentina's making money off the deal. The United States of America is making money off the deal. I can't remember if we talked about that on air yesterday or off air yesterday. It's in one of our recorded conversations, though I know it. We were talking about, you know, the brilliance of the move by Secretary Bessent and the Trump team on that front. But, man, I'll tell you what we're going to start with, though, here this morning, because it was just a nonstop. It was a quick turn-and-burn trip to Washington, D.C. Literally flew in late, Monday night, Tuesday morning. We hit the ground running, going back and forth on Capitol Hill. You heard some of the interviews yesterday on the show. We got even more that we didn't get to yesterday on the show. And then of course, 4 hours of live coverage from Capitol Hill, from Senator Steve Daines' office. And then a little later, we popped smoke, went over to the Freedom Embassy on Capitol Hill. That's Americans for Prosperity's Freedom Embassy. And we went there and recorded about three or four more conversations with some of their policy experts. We had a Green Beret congressman out of North Carolina, Congressman Pat Harrigan, that we were able to catch up with as well. Great conversation with him. One thing we're going to do, though, this hour of the show, this is, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the federal budget and the appropriations process. The guy that you're going to hear coming up right after the first news break this morning, he flips the whole conversation on its head. He's saying, look, everybody's talking about, well, let's go back to regular order. Let's go back to the normal appropriations process, which is what they've been doing. And by the way, the current Republican Congress has been doing a better job of that than any Congress in a very long time. But nonetheless, is that really the best way to be handling our federal budget dollars? Wait till you hear what Kurt Couchman has to say. He's a policy expert for Americans for Prosperity. He also wrote a very interesting book on the topic as well, longtime Hill staffer. So we're going to start with Kurt Couchman coming up right after this quick break right here on Thursday's Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of sunshine in store for today. We'll have high temperatures in the upper 40s for Bozeman, closer to the low to mid 50s, though, for Billings. Then for tonight, under partly cloudy skies, lows in the middle to upper 20s. For your Halloween Friday, becoming mostly sunny, high temperatures in the lower 50s for Bozeman, and right around 50 for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America.
Sunday is the 54th running of the New York City Marathon. It's the largest marathon in the country, with more than 50,000 runners from over 150 countries that'll take part, joined by more than a million spectators lining the 26.2-mile route. New York City Police Department Commissioner Jessica Tisch saying right now there's no known specific or credible threats.
New Yorkers will see an increased police presence, with thousands of NYPD officers posted along the entire route from Staten Island to the Bronx to Central Park. They will be supported by specialized units across the department, including our emergency service unit, mounted unit, canine, harbor, aviation, and our bomb squad.
That police will also be watching from above. There will also be hundreds of blocker cars strategically positioned as barriers alongside more than 10,000 metal barricades. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
You know, every now and then we'll get a chance to catch up with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. He'll call into the show from Capitol Hill, and then he heads right into Montana Coffee. So I've been saying, you know, one of these days we need to come do the radio show from Montana Coffee. Well, that's what we're doing with Wednesday's Montana Talks. Montana Talks live from Montana Coffee on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Catch our statewide program right here, 9 to 10 a.m. Sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Montana.
It's the
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks at the Freedom Embassy on Capitol Hill with our friends from Americans for Prosperity. Kurt Couchman is a senior fellow in fiscal policy for AFP and also the author of Fiscal Democracy in America, How a Balanced Budget Amendment Can Restore Sound Governance. Kurt, great to see you. Thanks for taking some time.
It's really great to be with you today.
Yeah. So first off, why did you title it Fiscal Democracy in America?
Because we don't have enough of it. People talk about the trade deficit, the budget deficit, but there's not enough focus on the democracy deficit that is underlying those problems and a lot of other ones as well.
In terms of the national debt or in terms of the inability of Congress over the past few decades to actually tackle these, you know, the balanced budget for starters, I guess.
In a lot of different ways. I mean, I worked for members of Congress and they had very little ability to interact with the process, to actually shape legislation, despite being on some of the committees that have important portfolios. Two of the three members that I worked for were on the House Budget Committee, which you would think would be the powerhouse coordinator of all of the other committees and, you know, breaking log jams and deconflicting and just generally overseeing and supervising the other committees to make sure that everybody was coloring within the lines. That didn't happen. We produced a messaging budget resolution every year. There are sometimes attempts at some budget process reform that didn't really go anywhere. And it made me think, wow, this place is really frustrating to work. Congress is a frustrating place to work. And why isn't it better at solving problems for the American people? And over time, I realized that we've got this top-down structure that's in Congress, but that is also a result of a process that just doesn't work. It doesn't include enough members in forging bottom-up solutions. It's not open to most members being able to contribute in a serious way. And so thinking about all these different problems led me to, we need to fix the budget, and also authorizing, but the budget is the thing around which all the rest of legislating is supposed to revolve, because that's where you do the resource allocation.
I definitely want to get your take on DOGE and how much was cut, how much more can be cut, these rescissions packages, can we get more rounds of rescissions packages, what can the president potentially do on his own, but big picture, when it comes to a balanced budget, it sounds like one of those things where everybody says they want a balanced budget requirement. It's how we do it that always seems to be the sticking point. It seems like, you know, we hear a lot of debate back in Montana about a potential constitutional convention or whatever, but it seems like, look, Congress through a simple vote can make this happen. Obviously not simple, but it should be simple. Saying that we're going to balance the budget should be a simple vote for them to take. That seems to be the easiest way to tackle this thing before you get into all the other mechanisms.
Well, there are a bunch of layers in what you just said. First of all, Congress doesn't do a budget. It never has. It does 12 appropriations bills. The regular order on paper is that those 12 appropriations bills should be considered separately. They range from about $7 billion for the legislative branch to $700 billion for defense appropriations. So they're nowhere close in terms of size. And then getting to balance, that is absolutely an important goal, but you have to be able to turn enough dials. And right now, the appropriations are just a quarter of spending, none of the revenue and none of the spending through the tax code. And it only involves one committee in each House of Congress, the appropriations committees. So everybody else is kind of left out in the cold, and you're just managing a quarter of one half of the budget or one side of the budget. When it comes to balanced budget amendment proposals, those have been floating around for, I guess, 89 years now. The first one was introduced in 1936. But almost all of them have some pretty serious problems, obstacles to becoming the 28th Amendment to the Constitution at this point. Some of them are in design and some of them are ideological. For example, there's a lot of conservatives that want to enshrine free market conservative fiscal policy in the Constitution. Problem is, it takes two-thirds of both houses plus three-fourths of state legislatures to adopt a constitutional amendment. That requires a lot of votes from Republicans and a lot of votes from Democrats. So you're not going to get those votes when you have something that isn't kind of appealing broadly to both sides. The other is on design. There was a BBA that passed the House in 1995 and fell one vote short in the Senate, also 1995. That one would have required annual balance, spending and revenue be equal every year, or the estimates of those. And revenue is really volatile. It jumps around from year to year quite a bit. So if you tried to tie spending to revenue and revenue so jumpy, you're either going to be creating a lot of policy instability, or you're going to be, you know, breaking the rule or evading the rule pretty regularly. There are lots of other problems with that particular one. What happened is I started looking at different proposals to figure out which one was the best one in 2010 and quickly realized that there are all these problems out there. Some of those problems it took me longer to realize. But I kind of set out to see if there was a better way of engineering a balanced budget amendment proposal. And that became the business cycle balanced budget amendment that I wrote for Congressman Justin Amash. We introduced it in 2011. It ended up getting 45 Republican and 14 Democratic co-sponsors, including a couple of progressives.
This is interesting what you're saying, because on one hand, it seems like, okay, Congress now finally, the new Republican Congress, they're finally starting to work together. They're actually taking all these appropriations bills one by one, getting significant progress. But nonetheless, part of the reason why we're in a CR situation right now is because all of it did not get across the finish line yet, but still much more progress than we've probably seen in a long time, right? And yet, it still begs the question, like, why are we still doing it this way? Is there not a better way to do this altogether? Because you're kind of flipping it on its head, because usually a lot of our conservative friends say, let's go back to regular order, single subject bills, each appropriation bill one by one, and you're saying, no, let's do this a completely different way without the omnibuses and all these other things that usually end up, throwing the American people under the bus at the end of the year, typically anyway.
All right, and we're going to get a reaction from Kurt Couchman on that coming up right after the Farm and Ranch Report. Yeah, I find this very interesting.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Socrates, you don't know nothing, claimed baseball legend Yogi Berra. Socrates may have been claiming ignorance. Berra was talking about baseball, but both may as well have been talking about the government shutdown. So when will the government shutdown end? It doesn't matter if you're Socrates or Yogi Berra. We don't know nothing, which technically means that we do know something. However, I do know proper grammar. The one thing I also know in this case is that I don't know anything about ending the government shutdown. Regardless, is it even possible to game out when the government shutdown may end? It wasn't that long ago that congressional Republicans forecast that Democrats would fold in 5 days. Then it was after the big No Kings rallies around the country. That never happened, and the shutdown is approaching a month, with no one knowing when it might end. It is said that knowing what you don't know actually constitutes true knowledge. And if no one knows the end of the shutdown, that must mean that everyone is pretty smart. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, President Trump says that Beijing has committed to buying tremendous amounts of U.S. ag products after he secured a one-year deal with Chinese President Xi Jinping in exchange for lower U.S. tariffs. Now, Trump and Xi met overnight for the first face-to-face meeting of Trump's second term at a military base in South Korea. They say the closed-door meeting lasted a little over 90 minutes. The president told reporters on Air Force One that China has agreed to purchase U.S. soybeans immediately.
We're in agreement on so many elements, large amounts, tremendous amounts of the soybeans and other farm products are going to be purchased immediately, starting immediately. If you notice, President Xi authorized yesterday for China to start, did you know that, right? China to start buying the very large quantities of soybeans and other things, which I appreciate, and that was a very nice gesture.
Now, the stakes heading into the meeting for U.S. agriculture were high. China bought some U.S. soybeans on Wednesday, but before those orders, Chinese buyers hadn't placed any since May. Similarly, sales of sorghum, cotton, pork, and other egg products to China were also lagging in recent years. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Celebrate Ag is back at Montana State University in Bozeman, November 2nd through the 8th. Join us as we honor Montana's proud agricultural roots and the people shaping its future. From producers and students to industry leaders, don't miss the Celebrate Ag Friday night social or the tailgate before Saturday's Bobcat game. A chance to connect, share stories, and cheer on the Bobcats. Learn more at agriculture.montana.edu/celebrateag.
Farmers and ranchers, let Tillman Equipment help you invest in your ag operation and give less to the IRS with a new tractor, combine, or sprayer from AGCO, Massey Ferguson, Heston, and now the legendary Fendt. Trusted brands by a family-owned dealership. Let the Tillman Equipment team help you with your production and efficiency. After all, time is money, your money, not the government's. Tillman Equipment in Haver, Fort Benton, with Triangle Ag, and now in Great Falls. For more information, visit TillmanEquipment.com. Well, using the Kansas City Federal Reserve's farm loan summary data, the economists at Agricultural Economic Insights have measured just how much it costs to borrow $1,000 for farm machinery. And for the first half of this year, the cost was $154 for every $1,000 borrowed. Going back to 1977, though, producers have never spent this much to finance $1,000 of farm equipment debt. In recent years, the measure was approximately $135 in both 2024 and 2023. And finally this morning, the American Wool Council is proud to announce the launch of the Reimagine Wool Digital Poster Contest, a nationwide call for creative thinkers, designer students, and industry professionals to help unlock the untapped potential of American Wool. Top prize is $1,000 plus networking opportunities. That's because finalists will be featured at the ASI convention in Reno, Nevada in January, where industry leaders will select a winner. Deadline for entries is January 1st. Now, for full guidelines, inspiration, and entry instructions, visit sheepusa.org. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so we're jumping right back into it here with Kurt Couchman, who is basically a senior policy fellow with Americans for Prosperity at the national level. We were cruising around Capitol Hill with Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity in Montana and got to catch up with, you know, a whole laundry list of senators and congressmen and policy experts and more. So if you're just joining us or if you were with us in the last segment here, so we were talking about the appropriations process and the federal budget And look, okay, so we're in the middle of a government shutdown right now. Democrats continue to vote to shut down the government because they won't vote for a continuing resolution. Now, in Congress, the newly Republican-led House now is in under the new leadership. You know, they've I think I end up talking about this a little bit here with Kurt Kaufman. But the bottom line is this: you guys remember all these debates about, well, instead of these omnibuses, we need to have these. We need to go back to regular order where we have individual appropriations bills, and we craft those, we debate those, we vote on those individually. But what Kurt is saying here is, wait a minute, no, you have to turn that process on its head, because even that process is not working. It's a process that basically goes to the 1970s. He says, no, we need to actually switch to a better process. He's like, you wouldn't build your own family budget this way. But anyway, I think he gets into it a little bit more right here.
Yeah, Congress needs a regular order process that works, and they don't have that right now with what was essentially created in 1974. There's the Congressional Budget Act of 1974, which was an improvement on what came before. They modernized based on what they needed to do at the time, and now times have changed, and it's time for another big round of modernization. But yeah, I mean, like, the 12 separate appropriations bills aren't getting the job done. They've never really gotten the job done. So it's time to look around and see what works in the states, in other countries, in the private sector. And lo and behold, when you think about budgeting, that should be a document that has all your spending, all your revenue, and then you can say, hey, based on all of this, what do we need to move to provide the best possible value to the taxpayers and the public generally? And so a budget is inherently one thing. I like the idea of single subject bills for authorizing legislation where you're, you know, managing the details of the programs. But when it comes to budgeting, the art is about trade-offs. More of this, more of that, and why, and then you can contest
13 different, well, we got this budget piece here, we got this budget piece here. So you have to look at it all together.
That's right.
If you're going to deliver a truly balanced budget, or, and then talk about everything that you're seeing. This is my first time back in Washington since President Trump's inauguration. We saw, you know, all the great efforts by DOGE. We saw a rescissions package get across the finish line. At least what our listeners are saying back in Montana is, more. We got $36 trillion in debt. We've got to save this country. So rescissions packages, what can the president do on his own? What can Congress do in appropriations? Or on top of that, go back more of this federal government spend.
Agree with my assessment there. More. The people of Montana want to see more reductions in federal spending. Greater reductions in the deficit, in the debt across the board. It's needed to save this country. Would you agree? Okay, so what have they done so far? What more can be done?
Yeah, we definitely need less federal spending. We need to restrain the growth. We need to clean out the waste, fraud, and abuse. And there's still so much. We made good progress with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the reconciliation legislation. There's a lot more that needs to be done, and we need to have a functional process for that. The DOGE effort was, you know, inspiring. It didn't ultimately come to a whole lot of savings, and this administration has taken the lessons learned from the DOGE effort to have more flexibility in terms of managing the federal workforce, be thinking more about information technology. The challenge is that under our budget laws, if Congress says, here's money, agencies, go spend it, the agencies really do have to spend it or try to spend virtually all of it. There was a law that was passed in 1974 as part of the Budget Act called the Empowerment Control Act that essentially, with limited exceptions, requires agencies to spend what Congress appropriates. And that's why we had the rescissions package. I think it was, at the end of the day, about $9 billion of money that was canceled, which if you extend to the 10-year window is like $100 billion. So it's not, you know, small potatoes. But we have a $2 trillion deficit, which means we're borrowing an extra $2 trillion $1 trillion every single year. So it's a, you know, an order of magnitude or more bigger that we've got to confront. Ideally, Congress would do more rescissions packages. Getting the votes for that is challenging. Appropriators in particular are cranky for a number of reasons, and some of that is because they believe that the administration is not spending the funds that they said they need to spend. Some of it is because some of the reporting and transparency about how the money is being allocated through the executive branch hasn't been as robust as appropriators want it. So it's politically challenging. And then there are things that the administration is attempting to do unilaterally. They're really pushing the boundaries of what's been done before. So we'll see how that turns out. A lot of it is being challenged in court, so it's uncertain how that will ultimately play out. One thing that would be totally certain in terms of if spending were cut is if Congress gets in the game. If Congress is the one saying, hey, we should spend less on this thing, there's no court case because Congress did it, right? But the way things are happening right now, there is some question about whether the savings will be durable, and we need them to be durable, or we're going to have a debt crisis, and that'll be a mess.
So that sounds like a good way. If you had 30 seconds to tell the people of Montana what their message should be or what their course of action should be, what do you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, they need to tell Congress, protect the American people from raging inflation.
All right, actually, let me hold that there, because I see that we got to run to our next break. So a very quick summary of what we can do, what we need to do, what our message needs to be to Congress from Kurt Couchman. I'll get to that here right after this. And then, hey, if you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970. The book, by the way, is Fiscal Democracy in America.
It's to do more than look good. It needs
a message from FireSafe Montana. With the large number of homes being built in the wildland urban interface, it is the responsibility of the homeowner to use ignition-resistant materials. Many buildings in a wildfire are burned from the roof down. Consider using a metal or asphalt roofing material. The siding of a home is subject to extremely high heat during a fire. Look into the use of stone, stucco, or cement board. Contact FireSafe Montana for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
What we're talking about right now, the guy that you've been hearing from for the past few minutes, Kurt Couchman, policy expert, a budget, a federal spending policy expert with Americans for Prosperity. We caught up with him at the Freedom Embassy. By the way, I got to tell you, this Freedom Embassy, such a cool, it's kind of like the AFP headquarters on Capitol Hill. You know, you guys have got to see and hear some of our friends with Americans for Prosperity Montana across the state. You know, guys like Josh Carl in the Flathead and Hannah and her crew in Billings and great teams, Katie and Bozeman and great crew in Missoula as well. But and so they've got some cool offices, some cool headquarters where they, you know, get folks engaged in the legislative process and what's going on at the congressional level as well. But, man, their Freedom Embassy, it was so cool. They had kind of like their war room with all their staff on one level of the building, and then on another level of the building where we were recording these interviews yesterday, and then interviewed other folks like legendary Montana Politico Jason Thielman. I still got to play that one, that interview with you here later today. Actually, this was kind of funny. Yesterday, right around, what was it? Right around 8:40, we were going to play the audio of my conversation with Jason Thielman, who is a longtime chief of staff to Senator Steve Daines, and of course, very influential in Montana politics, helped orchestrate so much of this Republican takeover of all the statewide offices here in Montana. He was the executive director running the show at the National Republican Senatorial Committee when they had this incredibly successful cycle last year, capturing the Senate majority back for the Republicans, handing President Trump a Republican Senate that by and large has his back in a major way right now. And Jason Thielman was just a major part of that. And so anyways, fun catching up with him at the Freedom Embassy as well. But the other thing I really liked about that Freedom Embassy is they have this really cool snack bar with like good coffee and everything like that. I'll tell you what, there was some high caliber coffee. I can tell you that it was some
really good coffee, because after doing 4 hours of radio and then doing about 2 or 3 hours of interviews after that, even, and walking across the hill, the good coffee was very good, very good. But speaking of high caliber, hey, if you are a journeyman plumber, and you would love to work for a great outfit in the Billings, Red Lodge, Bridger, Columbus area, get a hold of High Caliber Plumbing. Great team. Ron Gunn is the owner of High Caliber Plumbing. It's a veteran-owned, family-owned business. Both of his sons work for the company as plumbers as well. His wife, Kim, manages things. Great place to live. Great place to work, working with some of the best people right here in God's country of Montana, highcaliberplumbing.com. And, hey, if you're not a journeyman plumber, and if you don't even want to mess with that stuff, and you'd rather just call the experts, if you got some, whether it's emergency plumbing needs or whether you've got a construction site and you need some new construction plumbing done, or, hey, maybe you're somebody who's heard me talk about these Rinnai tankless water heaters where you never run out of hot water in the mornings. They specialize in, they're certified by Rinnai to install the tankless water heaters. So check them out, highcaliberplumbing.com, highcaliberplumbing.com. Having some fun talking about the Freedom Embassy on Capitol Hill. It was a great place to get some work done and meet with so many great folks. Here's just, I think, another minute or two with Kurt Couchman. And again, the book that he wrote is called Fiscal Democracy in America, How a Balanced Budget Amendment Can Restore Sound Governance. And let's see, where did we tee it up? Oh, yeah, I was asking him, hey, you know, because you guys are so great. You guys don't want to just talk about these things. The reason we talk about these things is so that we can do something about these things, right? And so whenever we raise an issue, I love it. We'll get, you know, a message on the Montana Talks app. Somebody will call into the show and they'll say, hey, Aaron, but what can we do about it?
Yeah, I mean, they need to tell Congress, protect the American people from raging inflation, higher interest rates, and the economic security and even, you know, threats to our system from a debt crisis. Ray Dalio is this Bridgewater investor, billionaire. He's written a book recently called How Countries Go Broke, and he thinks we've got just a couple of years to turn this around before we have a fiscal and economic heart attack. So we're running out of time. We need to get serious about this, and hopefully there's a blueprint out there to help people, members of Congress, figure out how to fix this for America.
And now's the time to fight me with Trump and Bessent on that side of the House and a Republican Congress. Now's the time to truly, you know, make our country the free republic that she's supposed to be here as we approach our 250th birthday. Kurt Couchman, a senior fellow for fiscal policy and the author of Fiscal Democracy in America. Great to be here. Thanks for having us here at AFP Embassy, or the Freedom Embassy here. It's just been incredible.
Yeah, thanks for having me join you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, good to see you. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys remember when the speaker battle was going on with Kevin McCarthy and but look, we've been talking about this for a long time. If you look, maybe I think for the first time since the Newt Gingrich 1990s, this Republican Congress could finally be on the path to getting us to a balanced budget. But even still, this appropriations process, doesn't it just seem like it just doesn't make sense, right? Because you got these different committees, you know, working on these 13 different levers when they really need to be looking at the budget as a whole and spending as a whole and saying, okay, we got to add a little more here. We got to take a little away here. We got to take more over here. We got to take more over there. Instead, it's like everybody's working on their one little piece and you've got 13 different folks working on 13 different levers, pulling 13 different levers of cash, and nobody's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Why don't we look at this thing in its entirety here? So it just seems to make sense what he's saying here about turning this whole thing on its head. And it's like, and that's why, like, when there were all these, you know, debates about, well, let's go back to regular order and this or that. It's like, okay, look, we can have all the inside baseball conversations we want, but at the end of the day, what do we want? We want the Congress to get the job done. We want the Congress to deliver. We want them to balance the budget, reduce the debt, reduce the deficit spending, right? And And so I think most Americans are like, look, regular order or this process or that. I mean, the process they've been using only goes back to the 1970s, as you pointed out. So is that necessarily the best process, or is now a time to say, okay, hey, why don't we come up with a much better process moving forward? And now you've got, I think, truly a remarkable time in Washington, D.C. with President Trump and overall unity on the Republican House side and on the Republican Senate side to really get some of this done for the long haul. Since we're kind of talking inside baseball congressional stuff here, this is actually very interesting. One of the most interesting things I heard over the past couple of days in Washington, D.C. during our Capitol Hill coverage actually came in another conversation right after we were talking with Kurt Couchman. Lauren Stewart is basically, so Kurt Couchman is like the budget spending policy expert, fiscal policy expert for AFP, right? Lauren Stewart is basically their healthcare policy expert. This whole stupid Schumer shutdown, the Schumer shutdown of government, what is it all about? Well, we know that Chuck Schumer, that they are shutting down the federal government. They are continuing to keep the government shut down because they want to give over $1.6 trillion. They want to give your money to illegal aliens so they get free health care while you continue to pay more for health care, right? And then they want to, get money going back to their sex changes in other countries and all that other woke nonsense, right? That's the over $1 trillion that the Democrats are wanting to spend money on right now. But more recently, they're claiming that it's about Obamacare. Well, the reason this is where they claim, well, with the government shutdown, the Democrats are saying that they have the leverage now. And so they're saying it's about Obamacare. Well, and keeping the COVID subsidies in place. Well, I told you last week, the COVID subsidies only amount for 3% of the expected Obamacare premium hikes that are expected next year, because Obamacare is such a freaking train wreck and everybody's paying more and getting less because of Obamacare. But they put these COVID subsidies in place, and the COVID subsidies were supposed to go away. But now, and they're already scheduled to sunset. The Democrats' own bill that they passed had the Obamacare COVID subsidies going away. And as Stephen Moore pointed out with the Unleashed Prosperity Hotline, the COVID subsidies only account for 3% of what would be covered, in theory, in next year's Obamacare rate hikes. Okay, well, now I'm going to throw something else at you. There was a major CMS report that came out this week, that's Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, that totally demolishes the Democrats' argument here. What CMS is saying, well, I'll tell you about it. This is huge. I'm telling you, this is huge when it comes to the Obamacare debate, because Republicans are saying, hey, we'll have the health care debate with you after you vote to reopen the government. But the Democrats are about to get demolished on the Obamacare debate.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You end up with unfulfilled promises. You end up with more poverty than when you started. And you end up, in the case of New York, it will be a poor city and state if this guy is elected. And then you end up with a loss of freedoms that's incalculable until all the dust finally settles. And I don't even know if I don't forget about what Cuomo said. There may be a point of no return, or it'll take a very long time to resolve it. I don't see a window of opportunity that this is going to happen. Understand, the left's embrace of Mamdani is going to be the doom of Democrats nationwide. Nationwide. This is going to have repercussions we can't even calculate today, but it's that real.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret, I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Goldco for years now. I am a customer of Goldco, and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one, trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today. Hey.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Lots of sunshine in store for today. We'll have high temperatures in the upper 40s for Bozeman, closer to the low to mid 50s, though, for Billings. Then for tonight, under partly cloudy skies, lows in the middle to upper 20s. For your Halloween Friday, becoming mostly sunny, high temperatures in the lower 50s for Bozeman and right around 50 for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
The Sac State president was talking trash about the Montana Grizzlies and all of FCS football. Yeah, same guy who apparently talked about ending whiteness. He got sacked by the Montana Pandas on Friday night. Yeah, if you haven't heard the woke backstory on this Sac State president, no joke. He was on some podcast talking about ending whiteness. Then he was mocking the Grizzlies. And then he got sacked. MontanaTalks.com.
Hi, I'm a
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So this was really funny. We were in the middle of doing our live show from Washington, D.C., our Capitol Hill coverage, and I think we were interviewing Idaho Senator Jim Risch, who is the chair of the Foreign Policy, Foreign Affairs Committee, essentially, Foreign Relations. And we're in the middle of interviewing him, but we're in a commercial break, right? And so he hears the commercial for Brett's RV and Marine, and he's like, oh, man, he's like, this is my favorite time of year back in Montana and Idaho to get out, you know, hunting and camping and hiking. He said, oh, I just love the fall. I love the fall. You know, and it was just so funny because he's listening to this Brett's RV and Marine ad. Of course, they got, you know, locations in Idaho, of course, and then all across Montana. And he's like, oh, man, this is the best time to go. And I said, I know. I said, you know, it's fun being here for this Capitol Hill show. I was like, but I got to get back. Man, I got hunting trips I got to do as well. It's a playoff football time, you name it. But I'll tell you what, though, you know, how could you not just want to get out there? This is why you live in a place like Montana, so you can get out there and enjoy the great outdoors. And what better way than having your own base camp with your own camper, your own RV, or, you know, getting out on the water with your own boat. And now is a great time to stop in and see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've got the largest selection in a five-state region. That's why even the guy from Idaho is like, oh, I need to get out there on one of those campers or boats. Largest selection in a five-state region, but they've got great locations, Butte, Missoula, and right there in Lockwood in the Billings area. Or you can check them out, brettsrv.com. Okay, so the two things that Lauren Stewart mentioned that came out in this Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services report. This is a damning report focused on Obamacare. So the Democrats are shutting down the government. Now, they're shutting down the government because they want to give your taxpayer dollars to illegal aliens to get free health care. But they're claiming, oh, well, no, now we're doing it because we want to keep the subsidies going for Obamacare. They want to keep COVID subsidies in place. We're done with the COVID crap. We didn't even like the COVID crap when we were in the middle of the COVID crap. But now the Democrats are trying to continue the COVID crap thing. Here's the deal, though. Two big things that this CMS report basically says, and we're going to get to it later this morning. Probably in the 8 o'clock hour, I'll play the audio from Lauren Stewart. But the biggest one is this, is that the more you subsidize the Obamacare premiums, the more the premiums go up. Some of you are thinking, well, wait, what? You mean the government gives more money to something and then the company that sells that something just says, oh, well, we'll just charge more. Now we'll just get more money out of the deal. Yeah, you know exactly that's how it can happen, because that's what happened with the electric vehicle mandates and the electric vehicle subsidies. Hey, we're going to give you a $7,500 tax credit for electric vehicles. And then what happened? The price of electric vehicles went up $7,500. That's what this CMS report is saying, that if the Democrats further subsidize these Obamacare premiums, it's just going to make the premiums go up even higher. So really, taxpayers are going to just, they're just going to take your money and give it to these insurance companies. And nobody's going to pay less for their health care. They're just going to raise they're just going to get more of your taxpayer dollars in the process. The other big thing is this. You get fewer options. If you're somebody who's one of these, what they call ACA enrollees, and you'll hear it later this morning from Lauren Stewart. If you're one of these ACA enrollees, the Obamacare subsidies, especially these COVID subsidies, you're going to pay more. Your taxpayers are going to pay more. And they're going to get less. They're actually going to get fewer options. ACA enrollees will get fewer options. So you're going to pay more and you're going to get less. Isn't that just a common theme with leftist social justice warrior causes that we see time and time again? And this was a CMS report that came out this week. So, again, what are the Democrats fighting for? This is what you're choosing to shut the government down over to make things worse and to give fewer.
This is for Karina. Our mom will finish her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
KDUL.